episode 10 of The Rift, August 30th, 2010. My name is Arithian.
And I'm Desicus.
So, Desi, how's your week been?
Pretty hectic, actually.
Well, that's kind of good, right? Yeah.
College is now in full swing, I guess, so makes it a little crazy. Lots of homework.
I never liked homework.
No,
I
did it. No, homework's never good, especially when I'm reading chapters per class of the textbook. One of them, his actual goal, he's like, we're going to read the entire textbook before the semester is over. It's psychology, I think.
Oh, man.
But I think your week's been pretty crazy, too.
Yeah, my week has definitely been pretty crazy. So I spent the week with my parents, and on Thursday we went to Colorado to Estes Park. If you've ever seen the movie Shining, that's where Stephen King had the idea for the book. And the miniseries was filmed, and we did go to the actual hotel for the ghost tour. Which was kind of really funny because it was a historic tour and a ghost tour, and the historic part was really interesting and the ghost part I just kept laughing at. But it was really good. It was really, really interesting and I did enjoy it. But it was really tiring because it's like a 9-hour drive there, and we did that on Thursday, and we did a 9-hour drive back on the Sunday. I'm currently dead.
And you also did the interview while you were
there. Yeah. And I did the interview while I was in Colorado.
And I chilled with her dogs.
Yeah, she babysat my dogs for me. Isn't she awesome?
It was kind of fun.
Yeah. So my week was very, very hectic. And I would just like to say we have reached double figures. This is episode 10.
Woohoo!
Go us. So we just want to sort of say really quickly that please note that with the huge amount of information currently being released and PAX coming up at the end of this week, we're not actually going to put out an episode on Monday, 6th of September. The 11th podcast will be out by the latest on Monday, 13th, and it's going to be a comprehensive episode, and we'll keep people updated as to the exact release date. Any important information releases will be recorded in the blog in the meantime.
Now, this week has seen heaps of information released, mainly through fans sharing with their experiences with Gamescom.
Yep.
Because, woohoo, that was
last week? Yeah, last week. Gosh, seems like so long ago.
I know.
But before we go on to that, we just want to clear up a tiny little myth that's been floating around.
According to Abigail, beta confirmed as starting in September is a myth. She posted up on the official forums to make sure the myth didn't spread. We're also sorry for any confusion that might have stemmed from the podcast episode.
Yeah, we apologize for if we helped. So now before we get into a rundown on the information for the week, we thought we'd move to our guests for this week.
The podcast this week has a slightly different format. We've dragged Cal and Sio on so they could discuss and share with us their experiences at Gamescom.
Yep, so here we go. So today we're having the first of our roundtable sessions. As more and more information gets released and the game eventually goes live, we'll be having more of, you know, people talking about the game. Today we'd like to welcome both Siavala from Rift Nexus and Tellarapedia and Cal from Rift Calculator to the podcast. They're here to discuss their experience with the game at Gamescom. Hi, Sio.
Hey, Ari.
And hi, Cal.
Hello, everyone.
Now, I want to get, you know, down to sort of the first things first. Can you tell us a bit about your MMO background and which games you've played and how you got into MMOs to begin with?
Okay. Well, I started out in Anarchy Online. I was still a bit young then, about 12, I think. My English wasn't so good, and I basically didn't even have a clue it was an MMO. So that's my first MMO. A few years later, I learned English a bit through the game, and I started doing Star Wars Galaxies. That was my first big MMO. Did a lot of casual groups, grinding, crafting, sorry, stuff like that. And well, then as we screwed that up, soon after I got into the Vanguard beta. From Vanguard, I moved on to a bit more serious gaming with raiding and such. Eventually, I ended up in Xanadu, where I still am today, still raiding, still enjoying games, and hopefully in Rift.
Good. And Sio, what about you?
Well, my MMO background, I guess, goes from before the really M was in MMO, so it'd be around the time, you know, way back in the mud time. So I think the first one maybe was either Sojourn or Toril mud, yeah. You know, way back when I was in college, actually. So I'm old. But after that I think the first, you know, real MMO was probably Ultima Online for me, which I was in a beta for that, and I didn't really play it for too long, but you know, it was my first experience sort of PK and all that kind of stuff. And then the one I spent the most amount of time in after that was Asheron's Call, which is still one of my favorite MMOs. And if it had better graphics, I'd probably still be playing it today. It's one of those very, I think it's still quite unique even today because of the way it's got a skill-based system without classes. Well, at least I think it still has those. And it was a huge, seamless world without much in the way of instances or anything like that. So it was totally amazing back in like was it 2000? I can't remember. And it probably still is today. But after that was Dark Age of Camelot, and then World of Warcraft, I think, after that. And then I got burnt out in that pretty quick and went all over the place, like Lord of the Rings Online.
Yeah, did everything.
Vanguard, EverQuest 2. I mean, I've tried so many, really, but I've honestly not gotten into too many really bad since Asheron's Call. So I guess that's still my favorite MMO.
Well, it's good to hear.
And obviously Rift, I'm hoping, is the next one. So we'll see how that works out.
And we're all in that boat with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, hearing about your background in MMOs, does this make you a casual or a hardcore gamer? Like, what would you say your playstyle lies at?
I'm probably a little bit of both. I started out casual. I still play a lot with some real-life friends who mostly play only a few hours a week. Yeah. So that's definitely my casual experience. And besides that, I raid 5-6 days a week if I can. So that probably makes me a hardcore player.
Pretty much, yeah, I think it does. And what about you, Theo?
Probably similar, I think. I started out casual, obviously, you know, ages ago, and then I'd say Asheron's Call, I was casual. Dark Age of Camelot, I was casual. And then that evil game, you know, that shall not be named with all the raiding, it completely ruined me for a long time when I was sort of in between jobs and I moved countries. So I got like really crazy, like 5 hours a night raiding for the longest time, where, you know, sitting out and doing all the theory crafting, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I still have some tendencies towards that, but I think nowadays I'm a little bit more casual, although I definitely, you know, I do like doing raids. So.
Yeah. Well, I know I started EQ1 and I was definitely casual maybe for the first 6 months. And then I got a little hardcore in it and joined my guild and raided. I mean, we did like 16-hour raids back then of like North Temple of Ishan and stuff like that. So that's I was studying, so I had time. But yeah, I'd probably classify myself as a hardcore gamer, I guess, because I get obsessive compulsive. Do you do that? Like, you kind of just want to play and play and play and
For me, there's really no point in going into a game thinking that I will do it casually. Just know once I get in there, I want to do more with it. I want to know everything, play my class the best I can and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, we can all fool ourselves for a couple of weeks that we might be playing something casual. So what is it that you're hoping to get out of MMOs, like now, like in this day and age? And, you know, do you feel that Rift is going to give you this?
From the games I've played in the past, I know really sure what I don't want anymore, and that's bugs, bad gameplay and stuff like that. So I really want a polished experience, and that's a major picking point for me at this point for future MMOs. I want challenging gameplay, enough raid content with a good update cycle for new content where you don't wait 6 months for new encounters to be released.
Yeah.
And basically, I just need one class where I can just bite my teeth in and master it.
Yeah.
Preferably over a course of months and not over a course of days.
Yeah, that bugs me too. What about you, Sia? What do you think?
Yeah, I can pretty much agree with Cal on most of those points, I think. Although, I mean, polish is definitely a huge, it's just so important. That, you know, how many games have we had over the last few years? And I don't know any single one of them actually had that right level of polish. They always had little quirks or something, you know. But Rift, actually, even what we saw, you know, Gamescom, which is obviously an alpha build, had that polish. But I guess we'll get into why we like Rift in a little bit. But the thing I'm actually really wanting to get from MMOs now is I really want to run into something that's sort of unexpected. I want to be inconvenienced to some degree. So I'm really hoping it's some of the more dynamic elements that, you know, Rift is promising us do come through. Because I really like being able to something that breaks sort of the, you know, the routine where you just kind of, you go into the game, you just know what to expect, and it just repeats, you know, ad nauseum for the most part.
Over and over.
Can, you know, get us out of that, you know, repetitive nature to some degree, really, which is that the dynamic stuff, definitely my number one.
I do think, however, that it's quite early for really say that Rift is entirely going to make it and be the next AAA MMO. So there's definitely a lot can happen. But once testing starts and stuff like that, and then it's really for a big part up to the to the community and testers. But if all that goes well, I think absolutely that Rift will manage to pull off all my expectations.
Well, I like to hear that. And Theo?
I have to echo what Cal said again. But I mean, like I said, even in alpha, it's already got a lot of that sort of polished feeling going on with it. I mean, and anyone who goes to PAX, you know, next week will totally understand what we're getting at by saying it's polished. And then we didn't get to see a lot of dynamic content. We sort of got to see, you know, the early stages of what's available in Rift, but it's, you know, if there's only more of that to come, I can only hope that, you know, the end results give me what I'm personally expecting. But it's still really early days. It's just it's just too early to tell, really. But I mean, it looks great what we've seen so far, but, you know, what did we see about 12? I only saw up to about level 12 personally when I was at games coming out. There's 50 levels in the game, so it's just a bit early to tell.
So basically, if as long as they keep on the track that they're on for like the next 6 months or so to the release, we should be good.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean I didn't see too many bugs either, which is, you know, pretty amazing. So
Okay, so were there any pet hates that you came across while testing the game out?
I have a few, I think. I'm still hoping for some form of dual targeting, especially when playing a healer. It felt a little awkward at times, and I know most of that probably comes from having played Vanguard and having played EverQuest 2, but I just really wouldn't like to go to that adjustment again, where you have to single target everything and switch back, do a bit of damage and stuff like that. Another thing that kind of bothered me at that time was the UE was still a bit limited. Resizing didn't work, and I couldn't change chat tabs much. And, well, really just the things they usually do last were still missing.
Well, let's hope they do them.
But the UE was still, I mean, granted, it had some limitations in it, but, I mean, the core bits it had in seemed pretty good from what I saw, I can, definitely the dual targeting would be nice.
Yeah, the core of the UE was definitely there.
Excellent. Any more pet hates for you, Cal?
No gnomes and no blood mages. I don't know if that counts, but I just have to say that.
You want your gnomes and you want your blood mages. That's okay. Yes. We understand.
Well, we know gnomes are out, but, you know, they've only revealed, what, 3 out of 8 mages? So,
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
You never know. So, Theo, what about your pet hates? What are you sort of not like?
I think one of my first impressions of Gamescom I wrote about a few days ago goes into the main one, which I admit is very superficial, perhaps, but I really didn't like the character customization and the options that were available. I mean, you can make some characters look absolutely gorgeous, and the models and the characters were great, and they looked good, but, you know, I just couldn't, you know, make ones that look quite as different as I'd like. So while it's a superficial hate, it's definitely the one that kind of has bothered me the most, because, I don't know, from what I saw from an alpha game, though, really, it's, I don't know, there wasn't a heck of a lot to really hate. It's too early to have any hates, I think.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So I know I saw that that video of the customization, and it does look a bit limiting. But they have said that they are going to that they've already improved it. It's just not in that build that was played at Gamescom. Is that right?
Yes, they said there've been improvements. And if you look at some of the articles we've seen on Zem and other sites in the last 2 weeks, actually, more than one of them has actually mentioned body customization explicitly. So I'm, going under the rather large assumption that it's just in a build that, like a less stable build that wasn't played at Gamescom, for example. Okay. So I have hopes, yeah.
So what made Rift stand out for you both?
For me, it was back when it was still called Heroes of Talara. And the major selling point there were the dynamic engine and the class system back then. Mm-hmm. The class system basically enabled you to swap between cleric or warrior and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that seemed really interesting at the time. It wasn't done back then. And, well, it really pulled me in. And then it got changed to the Ascended Soul system. Mm-hmm. And, well, if you ask me, whoever came up with that must be brilliant. Because that just makes it even more fun than what, in my opinion, Heroes of Talara would have had. So, yeah.
Okay. And for you, Sia?
I'd have to agree. My favorite bit, and it's really hard to explain, honestly, people have to play the game to really understand what makes the whole class, the Ascended, system as interesting as it is, because it's just a casual glance, and even, if you just play the game for a few minutes, it really looks like sort of talent trees you see in other games, really. Yeah. But technically you've got 8 of them that you can eventually swap into, 3 different versions. But it's really, really, I had lots of fun just messing about with what, the various options you could do in terms of mixing and matching the various, souls available at the time. And it was really fun. You can make some really cool stuff. It might just be because the souls themselves were pretty cool that they had, but it was that was just really fun. So people really have to play it to see why it's so good. And the same goes with the graphics, which, honestly, all the videos and screenshot people have seen, the game looks so much better when you actually sit in front of a screen. It's really a gorgeous game, with the exception of a few textures, as they're going through alpha. But it's just such a gorgeous game. It really is pretty. So.
Oh, good. So after getting to create your characters and play around the game, what is your favorite race?
You can't say gnomes, Cal.
Yeah, you can't. It has to be in the game.
yeah, you already phrased your question like that. That's just mean.
I'm cruel.
Normally,
leading the witness, sorry.
I'm really just picking my race on stats and not really on looks. That's how I ended up with gnomes in the first place. And then,
we'll believe you.
So at the moment, my favorite race would be the Kalari. Mm-hmm. Do I pronounce that correctly?
Kalari, I think so. I think that's
I think that's right. Yeah.
I mean, from the first glances I had on the racials, their racial is going to kick ass. Even if it's going to get tuned a bit, and if it's still an alpha, it seems really interesting.
Yeah.
What was the duration on that one, Cal? Can you tell everyone what that racial was?
Yeah, I think they had a passive that did more crit heal, more damage on a heal crit, and more damage on a normal crit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that would be Kalari Frenzy, increases critical hit by 10% for 15 seconds, which is the buff, has a 5-minute cooldown, and the Flames Velocity, critical strikes, deal 10% more damage or healing. Is that right, Cal?
Yep, that's it.
Woot, woot. Okay, so that's why you like the Kalari the most, kind of.
Yeah, definitely.
And what about you, Sio?
I would actually love to like the Kalari, but I don't really like the hair at the moment, so I'm going to be very superficial again.
I love your likes and dislikes.
I'm really kind of stuck. I think the humans in this game actually look really good, which is quite a change. Most games, I never really end up playing human because I don't like how they look, but the Eth humans look really good. But I tend to play elves, so thinking I'll probably stick with high elves. And high elves have a really good ratio, actually. It sounds kind of underrated. It's called Wisdom of the Ages. It gives you mana, charge, energy, power regeneration is up by some unknown percentage for 15 seconds every 5 minutes.
That's nice.
And when we were doing Iron Tomb and the other dungeons, which I know we're talking about in a minute, every time I'd hit that, it would basically just, all my bars would fill up.
Oh, that's so nice.
It was, yeah, so it basically completely saved me more than one time. So I think if you're a healer or something, it's just hard to deny the use of full mana bar every 5 minutes, really, if you're raiding or healing or something like that. So I think it'd be very popular for that reason. But the other one, like, you know, Tavril's Grace increases healing received by 3%. And then the other one, because every race has like an elemental resistance. So yeah. The Elfin one is for life resistance increased by 20. But
cool.
Humans still look the best, I think, at the moment.
Yeah. From the pictures, I think I like the way they look at the best as well.
What I really hope is that resistances will actually mean something in this game. Because there are so many games out there that just have the resistance stat just out there. Yeah, you can get a few resistances. Yeah, what does it do? Yeah, well, not that much. So it would be really good to finally start considering those stats as actually meaningful. Because at the moment, we look at those ratios and you see, oh, well, 20 fire resistance. Well, that's most of the people out there aren't really going to pick a race based on that.
True, very true.
it does mean a lot though in this game. You know, if you go to any of the rifts, for example, it's like if you go to a life rift, and if you check the combat log, which I did when you were there, you're going to see the type of damage you're taking. And so, I mean, they definitely have situational uses. But
okay, well, that's interesting.
We have no idea how it works at level 50. So.
Well, we're going to find out soon, we hope. out of the souls that you got to play, witness, experience, whatever, while you were there, which souls are you most leaning towards?
Normally, I mostly lean to the healer archetype, so I'm probably going to end up as a cleric-type character.
Yeah.
I'm really looking for a soul combo that uses mechanics such as life taps. I do a bit of damage and transfer that damage to my allies and stuff like that. If Rift doesn't offer that, I will probably end up with a support type healer.
Okay, that's good. What about you, Sia?
I'm pretty much the same boat. I almost always play healers. I do want to mention that in this game, healers only have mana, but, you know, like, mages have charge and, they're the only ones that seem to be lacking that sort of extra mechanic.
They're like the only class who doesn't have an extra mechanic. Like, I think you said that in one of your articles.
Yeah, indeed. That is a bit of a shame.
That's a bit strange.
Wasn't it Sentinels? I can't remember. I don't have some of the notes and pictures at the moment, but I think the Sentinel class for clerics did have something called Conviction, which seemed a bit separate, but that's not like a calling thing. It's only for that specific soul, but I just don't know the details on that one. Yeah. But still, I did have quite a bit of fun in, you know, when we did those three dungeons, I had quite a bit of fun with the Warden, but I can only say so much. The Warden was quite fun, but honestly, I'm not really a rogue person. I had a lot of fun messing about with rogues when I was at Gamescom, so I'm kind of leaning towards one of the various rogue classes, because I don't know why, they're just really fun. Their combat seems a bit faster than the other three callings as well. Okay. So.
Well, I usually play like a melee. I play like a melee debuff buffing backup healer is what I usually play. but I'm kind of really hoping they have something like that, or that I can mix and match to make something like that, because I usually do play a healing type class, so I'm. Oh, I'm excited.
I did actually notice, though, Ari, when kind of looking through all the souls I had when we did the dungeon thing, because they let us kind of play the dungeon and use any soul we want, that definitely there was at least one cleric I had, you know, it was a melee cleric. Ooh. So I guarantee you'll be happy, although I don't know, hopefully they release some information sooner than later, but there was at least one that did that, so make people like you happy as well. So.
I'm happy.
Which is a cool thing about the game, because, you know, you can mix and match all the souls up, so make some really interesting combinations. So
that's good, and maybe some that some people haven't thought of before, or some, you know, invested ways, I guess, that maybe they didn't, you know, like other people haven't thought of. I think that's a good thing. From what I've seen, if you can do that in your calling and sometimes come up with something fairly unique, at least unique when you start it, I think that's an awesome thing.
Yeah, I mean, we may be seeing what it kind of means to, like, raiding, you know, people with the hardcore raid crowd. You know, all the theory crafting will probably result in these perfect combinations of different souls at some point, but it's still, you know, a lot more variety than you would have in more games, I think.
Yeah,
and I think that that's constantly searching for new soul combos that work well. That will be a major part of the game in when you reach level cap, and it's just going to be so much fun to start constantly searching those best soul combos and keep working on that. And I think that's going to be a continuous process as updates roll in, as new souls in. I mean, one soul is probably going to impact all those soul templates that you made earlier.
Oh yeah, so
that's a lot of promise.
I was also thinking that if you're like, say, when you get to the level cap, which I think they've said is 50, and say, I know there's a ranger and I know there's a nightblade. Now the nightblade obviously is close combat and the ranger is obviously distance combat. So if you start fooling around with all different combos, you're also going to need a heap of different weapons. So you can work on weaponsmithing or something and get the best weapons that you can make yourself, basically.
Mm.
Well, I think that sounds like a good idea.
But I do think this game is definitely going to be like a total theory crafter's dream. I just don't know any game that's going to have that. It's definitely amazing fun, which I think is really, I like doing the theory crafting stuff. So
yeah,
it should be quite interesting to see how it is once. I mean, if you look at any of these soul trees that have been released, well, you know, on the internet since the game comes, you can kind of get an idea what it's going to be like when the game comes out.
I'm excited.
Speaking of crafting, did you manage to see the crafting process at Gamescom?
I did. I just wrote an article about it about an hour ago. It should be on Rift Nexus for to go take a look. I mean, as you know, I mean, I wasn't there as long as you. I only played the game for about, you know, 2 days worth, and we spent I don't know how many hours in dungeons one day. But still, I got, you know, I had the chance to look at all the different gathering professions you have, and I messed about with outfitting. Although for some reason I didn't really talk about outfitting. I just talked a bit about, you know, looked at the recipe list and stuff. But it really sort of, I don't want to say, you know, WoW clone, because it's not, and it's only alpha anyway, so obviously they're not done. But when I tried it, the outfitting one, I just had killed a bunch of humanoid guys on the way in. Plus, I'd been using a butchering skill to get leather. So I basically had to cure my leather first, and then I had to kind of combine the cloth, I think, and the bolts of cloth. And then you just press a button in your inventory, and not in your inventory, in the crafting panel, it just makes the item.
I like that.
So, you know, it's not quite as in-depth as other ones, but it's still alpha. I mean, you have no idea. I have no idea what state of play really crafting is in. And when I asked to try on people, they said there is, you know, and actually Cindy said that today in IRC chat, that they're going to have a bigger reveal about crafting in the future. So I asked people not to read in too much based on what I wrote about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because who knows what they have planned really for it. I mean, at least the interface was good, easy to use. And the cool thing about crafting, from what, again, I was told at Gamescom, is what their vision is, at least while you're leveling, they weren't really willing to discuss too much about endgame, was that, you know, the items you're crafting, like weapons or armor, are always going to be better than what you actually get questing, whereas they might not be as good as, you know, the dungeons. They're going to be better than your quest rewards. So
cool.
I don't know how much better, if it's like, you know, one extra dexterity, for example. But at least it'll be definitely some reason to craft while you're leveling up, although maybe most people do, you know, gathering until 50 and then pick up crafting then. But
okay, now we all know that you went through dungeons, and I do believe you played together. So what was the experience like as far as things like grouping, difficulty, length, overall enjoyment, etc.?
Before I actually talk about the dungeons, I did, the try-on people did tell us when we were at Gamescom that the difficulty had been, for the game itself, and I'm not sure, might even be more so for the instances, but the actual difficulty levels, it was easier than it will actually be if you're actually playing the game at release. So they mainly wanted to be able to show everyone the dungeons was my idea, all that. So it's unfortunately hard to judge difficulty. But I did notice that one of the dungeons we went to, Deepstrike Mines, I just could not get out of this frontal attack the end boss had there. So even though we were like, I think something crazy, like five levels over it, I mean, he still kicked the hell out of us for and I say, hell, he just kicked us, you know, for so long. It wasn't just me. It took us a while to sort that one out, even though we were over-leveled. But the ambiance was great in all three of the dungeons. We did Iron Tomb, which was an earlier level dungeon. I don't remember the exact level, like 18 or so, 20. Then we did Deep Strike Mines, which no idea, 20 something. And then we did Darkening Deeps, which they've already announced as part of the Glowmwood. They had an awesome ambiance. It just looks epic. It's so huge with like a huge ceiling and like a pit that goes way down. That was really awesome. The only thing I like to say, Iron Tomb did seem a bit short compared to the other two. But again, I don't know if it was because we were overleveled or overall dungeon length.
Yeah.
And in terms of classes, I did heal all three of them as a yet unreleased, unannounced healer class called the Warden, which was really, really fun. And I can just say, if you're someone who likes doing heals over times, so that will definitely be the healing class for you. But it had quite a lot of interesting, unique mechanics and stuff too. They can move from person to person and stuff. But again, it's alpha. I don't know how much was really set in stone. But it was really fun healing with that class, I thought. Although I think when I spoke to Cal afterwards, he was like surprised I actually liked it. So it depends on the person, really. So
yeah.
What about you, Cal? What did you think? What classes Cal was playing? What soul? Sorry.
I think on the group with you, I was playing a bard and an assassin, which didn't really work out that well. I needed a lot of combo points to keep my buffs up on my bard, and I wanted to do damage as well on the assassins, which also used up combo points, so that just didn't really mix together well. So. And I was a bit lost since I never ever played a bard in my life. So that was a new experience.
I'm excited for the bard. I can't wait till they release it. I want to know.
And the day before we did, besides the dungeons, Gio mentioned we did Realm of the Fee, which is the biggest instance I've seen. It was great. I mean, long instances are great, guys, if you're listening. Do it.
I love long instances.
We were, I think, over-leveled a few levels there. Not that much. But we just kept dying on this one mob. And we knew what to do, kinda. Our tank was a bit clueless, but we did know what to do. And we just kept dying. I think we died 6 times. And then,
oh my gosh.
I think it was Chris who came up and was like, just type slash kill and continue on. And that just drove me up a wall because I just want to beat those mobs. Those are the mobs I'm looking for in an MMO. Challenge. Well, that's what I want.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So, but overall, just, you know, maybe the dungeons, one of the dungeons was a little short for you, CO. And was there anything that you didn't like about them other than maybe a little short?
Yeah, it's, you know, because the difficulty level was set to be a bit easier, it's really hard to make too much of a call about the difficulty to the bosses. I know all the ones we fought, even in these dungeons, they all had some sort of little trick you need to sort out. I don't know if we want to give away too much because, I mean, these are some of the first ones people are going to play and they're going to see some cool stuff. But each one has a little trick. So even what I think is interesting, you're looking at like level, like early dungeons, and they're not like just simple just tank and spank fights at all. It's like they've got the dungeons themselves have a great ambiance. The bosses have at least one little trick to it. So, you know, again, in this game, they've already said that you'll go back again at 50 and you can play on the expert version. So I can only imagine that must be amazing. I don't know. They're really good considering they're low-level dungeons, I thought.
Well, I think that sounds great. I'm looking forward to them myself. So, now that, you know, you've gone over your Gamescom experiences, etc., is there anything else that you'd like to share with us that I haven't asked you about or asked you to discuss?
I want to go to PAX.
Yes, so do we.
Me too. I feel like such an idiot because I brought a camera with me and forgot I was just playing the game and kept forgetting I had a video camera and I missed, like, so much stuff.
But I would love to go to PAX as well. My parents are currently here. I am sitting in a condo room in Colorado to record this. I don't usually live in Colorado.
Yeah, it's a rough life, Harry. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a horrible life.
In Colorado. Yeah.
But thank you guys so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming and talking about your experience at Gamescom with us. We've got PAX coming up, I think, at the end of this week now. And things are getting in sort of full spin for the game release. Looking forward to many more releases. And like I said, Cal, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for
having me. Yeah, this is the second one now, isn't it,
Cal? Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, this is the second one.
Oh, I'm going to drag people on whenever I can. And Sia, this is your second one too.
It is, yes, yes. Been a few weeks, but it's always a pleasure, of course. And it's too bad. I wish you could go to PAX too, because it really is. The game was really fun, so I'm kind of envious of people get to go to PAX and play the game again. So
yeah.
And just think, if we would have known that we could share everything and record everything, make pictures, if we would have known that before Gamescom, we would have had the entire game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, you have like an amazing number of pictures anyway, and I just wish I would have gotten more videos, but either way, it'd be interesting to see what information everyone gets out of PAX later in the week.
Yep, and thank you again, Sio. Thank you, Cal.
All right, thanks, Harry. Take care.
We really appreciate Sio and Cal giving us some of their free time to talk to us, and as more information becomes available, we'll be setting up discussions and inviting people to come on the show. At least that's the plan.
Yep, that's the plan. And I did just want to apologize. When we did the interview, just remember that Cal is in Europe. Sio is in London or England, one of the two. And I was in Colorado in a hotel room. So there was occasional microphone problems that I think Sio had, and we do apologize for that.
This last week's Rift-related news included a fair few articles written by Ciavallo and posted on Rift Nexus, one of which, the character creation article, was even adopted by Massively.
Yep. In all of her articles, overall, she covered character creation, Shadowlands, user interface, the Namjok mount, soul system, death and soulswalking, achievements,
professions, heavy, light weapon and armor smithing, runecrafting, etc., mounts, no different colors yet. How sad.
I know.
Instances, soul trees, warlocks, reaver, purifier, inquisitor, and ranger.
Yep, and she writes about it all in as much detail as she possibly could from the couple of days playtime that she got to have. And they're all great reads, and especially the videos are really good to watch. She has a few dungeon videos, a couple. Ooh. I think she put up today. So they're definitely up for the Monday. It also brings up the limited character creation, and we truly hope that Tryon mean it when they say that there will be improvements.
A couple of new sites have popped up this week. Mages of Rift, a fan site for all mage-related things, is established by Zor.
And Rift Seekers, a community-driven fan site focused on high-end game content analysis. Now, this site is run by Faelor, whom some of you might know from the Vanguard Rangers site in the Vanguard days, or even as Forest Stalker, as it was known a little after that. I'm personally really looking forward to seeing how the site develops, and I can't kind of wait.
Yeah. Don't forget to pop over to Lara Central and check out the IRC for last Friday the 27th. Abby answered a heap of questions for the community, some of them random but interesting nevertheless.
And of course, very importantly, on Friday the 27th, Tryon Press also released lore and information on the Fire Rifts by MMORPG. It's a great read, and we know that me, for one, I hide my inner pyromaniac, and these are probably the rifts that I am the most excited for.
I don't hide mine. There's candles all over my house, and even more lighters. Kind of scary, yeah. Actually.
Well, I'm looking forward to the cleric callings. I really hope Sio was right, and there will be a melee type healer for me to sink my fangs into, because that's like my favorite type. That's what I've played in the last few games.
That's what you always play.
I know. Can't help it. I like my melee backup debuffing healer person.
I see.
What about you? Are you excited for anything?
I'm kind of interested in the clerics too, but I'm curious to see what their nuking ones are like. And I want to see how healing plays into it, because they're a cleric, so.
So you've looked at the Inquisitor?
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious to see how that one plays out. Sadly, it's that time again. Don't forget to go to the site, riftpodcast.com. We'll have all the relevant links up in our show notes post. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, and please don't forget episode 11 won't be on Monday, September 6th, but instead by the 13th at the latest.
Yep, at the latest. Now, don't forget, you can contact us via email, riftpodcast@gmail.com. through comments, you know, just comment on the articles or via the site contact form, which quite a few people are doing now. So thank you very much. You can also follow Riff Podcast on Twitter. And speaking of Twitter,
I have a Twitter now. Actually, I've had it for a very long time, but
didn't you lose your email?
Actually, my phone is hooked to an old Twitter, which my email got hacked, and so I can't retrieve the password.
And so now you have a new phone.
Yeah, so I have a new phone that has a Twitter app, but I have the same number.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. So Desica's actually friended me on Twitter, which was, or followed
actually,
me on Twitter.
Actually, I friended us in general.
Yeah, you did. But yes, you can now follow her, too.
It's real simple. It's Desica's, so. Yep.
And yeah, so I'm Ruthian.
And this is Desica's.